بسم الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد يوسف What's the difference between a shart and a rukun?
Okay.
Abdurrahman, what's the difference between a rukun and a wajib? Basically, a rukun and a wajib and a shart and a sunnah. We said over and over again, make sure you understand these four aspects, these four things. A rukun is a precondition to the act. It is a necessary condition, but it is before the actual act. Okay? A shart, right? A shart is a before the act. Okay? A rukun is inside the act, is a part of the act. And it is an essential component of the act. If you leave a shart intentionally or unintentionally or accidentally, a shart. If you leave it for any reason, right, then what will happen? You can't perform the act. What if you leave a rukun? The act is not complete. Okay? They're like kind of sort of related to one another, except the difference between a shart and a rukun is that a shart occurs before and the rukun is inside. Now the difference between a rukun and a wajib is also inside. The difference between a rukun and a wajib is that if you leave a wajib act accidentally, this is a key point. If you leave it purposely, then your salah is not complete. Okay, it's like a rukun in that sense. But if you leave it accidentally, then what can you do? You can make up for it somehow. Whereas if you leave a rukun, whether it's accidental or purpose, it doesn't matter, you can never make up for it, okay? Brothers and sisters, every one of you has to understand these four things. If you don't, then the rest of the few lessons, the next few years, are going to be useless. Does everyone understand? Does every sister understand? If any sister doesn't understand, please knock on the door. The rukun, a shart, a wajib, and a sunnah. Okay? You're going to have to get the notes because you were absent, that's why. Okay? Everyone understands because we already covered this before. Okay, I'm assuming everyone understands then. What were we discussing about last lesson? The shurut, or the plural of shart, the shart of salah. How many sharts of salah have? How many did we cover? Three. Okay, salah has six shurut. Obviously, there's a shart that is implied. You might want to write it down, and that is that he's a Muslim of proper age. I mean, this is like understood, that a non-Muslim doesn't have to pray, and a Muslim who is below the age of puberty doesn't have to pray. That's understood, that one of the shurut, we're not going to discuss it in detail, in the sense that everyone knows that you have to be a sane adult Muslim. Okay. Okay. What are the three shurut that we discussed? What are the three shurut that we talked about? The first one was? Okay. I said to have wudu. It's more proper to use the word tahara. Why? Because what if you can't do wudu? What do you do instead? Tayammum. So it's more proper to use the word tahara. The first shart is that you have to have tahara. Purification. Okay, you have to be pure. In the sense, wudu or ghusl or tayammum, whatever you have to do, do it. Okay? That's the first shart. The second shart is what? To make sure that your body, your three things, your body, your clothes, and the place that you are praying. So for example, if you did wudu, but there was a piece of feces on your body, it doesn't matter. You can't pray with that piece on you. Likewise, if there was urine on your clothes, okay? Likewise, if there is najis on the place that you're going to pray, all of these three things have to be pure. Okay, your body, your clothes, and the place that you pray. However, obviously, very small amounts of najasa are forgiven, as we said even in the najas class. For example, nasal blood or something, a little bit of blood on your body, it is overlooked. Small amounts of najasa, okay? But when it comes to urine and stool, then even small amounts should be cleaned away. The third shart was what that we mentioned? Facing the qibla, except for when you are traveling, during the nafil prayer, and you're on a mount or a ride. These are the three conditions that we said that if in this case, you don't have to face the qibla. Okay? When you're traveling, in your nafil prayers, not in your wajib, right? And you are like in a car or on an animal, basically you're on a way that prevents you from turning to the qibla. Okay? Because if you're traveling, and you're praying nafil, but you're standing, then of course you have to face the qibla. Only if you're on a mount or a beast or a car, if you're traveling, huh? Or a plane, doesn't matter. If you're praying nafil, it's fine, you can pray in your seat. But fard, you have to stand up. Okay. Another shart of salah, so these three we talked about last lesson. We're not going into detail right now because we already discussed it in the last lesson. another shart al-salah is that your awrah, or your private parts, must be covered. What is the awrah of the man? Now this is where somebody asked the question. There are two slightly, if you like, contradictory, or apparently contradictory hadith about this matter. One of them says that al-sakhizu awrah, that the thigh is a part of the awrah. The thigh is a part of the man's awrah. Everyone knows what awrah is? Is anyone, huh? No, what is the meaning of awrah? The part that you have to cover. It means that you are not allowed to show your awrah to anyone except your spouse. No one is allowed to see your awrah except your spouse. So what qualifies as awrah? For the male, the awrah, like we said, there's two slightly, apparently contradictory hadith. One of them says that the thigh is a part of the awrah. The other hadith says that the Prophet ﷺ was lying down and he was wearing a cloth that exposed the upper or the lower part of his thigh. So Abu Bakr came in and he didn't do anything and he exited. Umar came in, he didn't do anything, he exited. Uthman came in, when Uthman came in, he covered up his thigh. Okay. So then Aisha asked, how come you didn't do it for Abu Bakr and Umar? So he answered, how can I not be shy for a person whom even the angels are shy of? Okay. So Uthman, because of his modesty and shyness, he knew that, the Prophet knew that if his thigh was uncovered, Uthman would feel too uncomfortable and too shy and too modest to say anything, and he wouldn't benefit from his coming. So therefore he covered up the thigh. So now how are these two hadiths supposedly contradictory? On the one hadith, the Prophet clearly says the thigh is a part of the awrah. In another hadith he says, or the action shows that the Prophet showed the lower portion of his thigh. So because of this, the scholars have differed about what is the awrah. The correct opinion is that the awrah is from the navel to the knee. However, if unintentionally a part of the thigh is exposed or something, then we don't have to be as strict about it as, for example, if the private parts are exposed. This is how we combine both the narrations. Because the Prophet explicitly, authentically said, al-sakhidhu awrah. Okay? That, and this is a Hassan hadith, it is an authentic hadith, that the thigh is a part of the awrah. So how do we understand then his act? We say that it was unintentionally exposed. He didn't want to expose it. He was just lying like that, and his garment happened to just reveal his lower portion of the thigh, meaning that right above the knee. Okay? So the Prophet was aware of it because Abu Bakr and Umar came and he didn't do anything, but when Uthman came, he covered it up. So it shows he was aware of it, but it shows that you don't have to be as strict about covering the thighs as you have about other aspects. This doesn't mean that you're allowed to wear, for example, swimwear, the swimwear that only covers your private parts. No, you're intentionally exposing the thighs. We're saying that suppose you're wearing, now remember in those days they used to wear a garment underneath them, they would wrap it around. Suppose you're wearing something like this, and it just so happens that when you're sitting, a little bit of your upper thigh, or lower thigh, excuse me, the portion above the knees is exposed. You don't have to be as strict about it as, for example, if your private parts were exposed. So you see how we combine these two narrations, is that the thigh is an awrah. So you are not allowed to wear shorts that are above the knees. You have to wear shorts that cover the knees. Okay? Likewise, the navel is the awrah. Even the shorts of today, they don't cover the navel. They are below the waistline, or on the waistline. Whereas the Muslim's navel should not show. A man should not show his navel. So from your navel to your knees, and you don't really get any types of shorts like that. Because all of the pants, they come, or they are tied, or they are fastened below the navel. But for the Muslim man, he is not allowed to show what is around the navel. In other words, including the navel, you're not allowed to show it. So navel to knee is what is the awrah. Okay? That's for the man. What is the awrah for the woman? For the woman, her awrah during salah is different from her awrah outside of salah. So her awrah during salah is that she must cover every portion of her body except for her face and her hands. Okay? She must cover every portion of her body except for her face and her hands. And this is different from outside the salah, and that is a different fiqh chapter in and of itself. And this is because the Prophet said that a woman's prayer is not accepted until she wears a khimar. And the khimar in those times was what you covered the face with, and it would put over your bosom. It would go over your chest area. It would cover it, like a loose covering. Okay? Likewise, Umm Salama, she was asked, can a woman pray without wearing socks? So she said, as long as her dress covers her feet, which means that her feet should be covered. Even her feet, they should be covered. As long as her dress covers her feet. So she doesn't actually have to wear socks, right? Suppose she has a long